This is your classical break, a chance to take a step back and enjoy some great music in the middle of a busy day. I'm Tyler Alderson, and today we'll be listening to Edward Elgar's Serenade for Strings, one of his earliest and most popular pieces still played today. Now, before we get to the music, I'd just like to say thank you so much to all of you who have been listening and subscribing and downloading these podcasts. If you have a moment, if you'd be able to review this on iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play, wherever you're getting it, it would be much appreciated. And please do share it around to anybody who you think would be interested. Again, thank you so much. Elgar had an interesting path to becoming a well-known composer. His father was a professional violinist and organist. He was raised in a very musical household. And he was on the way to becoming a violinist himself. His teacher thought that he had the talent for it. But Elgar wasn't confident enough in his tone or ability. He didn't think he could do it. He didn't go to a conservatory or a university, and his first musical job was actually as the band director at the Worcester and County Lunatic Asylum. And yes, that's the actual institution. The actual institution name, Lunatic Asylum, was what they called it. And the band apparently was composed of people who worked there, not the patients. But his contract included a clause that he'd get bonuses for compositions, 5 shillings each, which was pretty decent. He wasn't writing symphonies or concertos, though. The music was all for Friday dances, so polkas and quadrilles, light dance music rather than serious music. And that experience stuck with him. With pretty much any art form, people have this great desire to be taken seriously. With composers, it's writing big works, using all your knowledge and talent and training, you're creating art. Elgar had a slightly different idea. He was definitely talented, he was well-trained, he was knowledgeable, but a lot of his pieces have a more populist sensibility. You've probably heard his most famous piece before. It's the da 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 da. One of the pomp and circumstance marches. It's played at graduations all around the world. He liked writing music that appealed to people beyond musical circles, saying, "Why should I write a fugue or something that won't appeal to anyone when the people yearn for things which can stir them?" He seemed to go for the heart rather than for the mind, which didn't sit well with some critics, but has made him very popular among audiences. The Serenade is a good example of this. It's an old form. It goes back to classical music's roots in the music of noble courts around Europe. Serenades were light pieces meant for occasions and parties. They'd often be played outdoors in the summer. They're not meant to be the most complex or thought-provoking pieces. Think about the jazz bands and string quartets you'd find at a wedding or a private function. They're there to set the musical mood for a fun night. Now, technically this is in E minor, but it really switches between major and minor a lot throughout. The opening movement moves quickly and gracefully. It feels like a twirl around a dance floor, or I have in my mind some kind of movie dream sequence. The second slows things down, although it's really more serene than sad or somber. Everything seems to come in waves, with the orchestra building and then pulling back again and again. And the third movement picks up again with a similar dancing feeling to the first. There's even a similar motion that keeps everything going. Elgar's bringing the whole piece around full circle. Here's a far cry in a live recording from the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston, Elgar's Serenade for Strings. Thank you. You can hear the fact that Elgar was a violinist and the son of a violinist. His ear for writing for strings in particular is remarkable. His Serenade for Strings is one of his favorite pieces he wrote, and it was also the first one that he said he was satisfied with once it was done. Well, thanks to A Far Cry and the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston for putting that recording up on the web. You can hear a ton more at gardnermuseum.org. I'm Tyler Alderson, and tomorrow for your classical break, a piece by a man who supposedly sold his soul to the devil in exchange for a mastery of the violin, Niccolo Paganini's Variations on I Palpiti. See you then.